in 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to look at Elijah. It's a part of a story that may be familiar to us, but I want us to see something from it that will help us in our life. All of us, in one way or another, face pressure in life. And some of the pressure is just the normal daily pressures of life that come our way that we just have to deal with it. But there are spiritual pressures that come our way. Pressures that try to push us, to be honest, in the wrong direction. How if we're going to be successful spiritually, we must respond to the pressures that come to us correctly. We can never get to the place where we're starting to make bad decisions, heading off in a wrong direction simply because of pressures, outward pressures that have pushed us to make those decisions or go those that go that direction. We have a tendency sometimes to concede to pressure, to compromise, to give in. And it could be from sources that don't necessarily mean it, but they just don't understand it because maybe they're not spiritual. It could be from family that you have that maybe aren't Christians, or maybe they just don't understand Christianity. And they might put pressure on you to do a certain thing or go a certain direction. Could be people in your workplace. By the way, people in your workplace know you're Christian. They're usually gonna push at you a little bit. Could be some old friends you have. Sometimes it's from the media and the entertainment that we allow in our lives, which, to be honest with you, most of the media and most of the entertainment is not godly. And in fact, in the opposite is anti-God. They throw in stuff that doesn't need to be there. And I'll just be real honest with you. It even comes from sometimes from other, either naive or to be honest with you, different type of Christians who are not strong in their faith and a compromised faith, and they don't understand why maybe you live or want to do what you do in your life. But we all are going to face that pressure. We're all going to have to respond from it, to it. In our text this morning, we're going to look at Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet, one of the best. But like all great men, he was human. And being human, we have a tendency sometimes to maybe have some failures in our life. I like the little phrase someone said, the best of men are men at best. And that is true. And God puts these stories in the Bible to encourage us and to help us. This is not one of his better stories. He had just had a great victory over the false prophets of Baal. King Ahab was one of the worst kings. And, of course, he was pumped up by his evil wife, Jezebel. And he, in chapter 18, the country had just totally went a wrong anti-God direction. And Ahab blames Elijah for it and says, you're the one who's troubling Israel. And Elijah stands up to him and says, not me, it's you. He said, we're going to have a little contest, so let's get everybody up to Mount Baal, Mount Carmel. Get all your Baal, your priest of Baal, so they go get the 450 priests, and then the 400 priests in the groves, and there's 850 of them, and there's one, Elijah. Elijah says, we're going to have a contest. We're going to have a burnt offering. Just one small detail. We have to pray, and we're going to see whose God will send fire from heaven to burn the offering. And so they set up the altar. The 850 false prophets are there, and they're, you know, they're praying, and it's not working, and then they're throwing themselves, they're cutting themselves, and I kind of like Elijah. Elijah's making fun of them. Hey, where's your God? Maybe he went on vacation. Maybe he's out of town. And after all of that, Elijah's like, my turn. And Elijah says, you know, for God to burn up this offering would be just a little bit too easy. Let's make it a little harder. So they soak it. And they fill the offering with water. And Elijah prays, and God, the only God, the real God, answers by fire and takes it all out. And then he follows the Old Testament law, and he has the false prophets and priests put to death. The people that are there saying, we're going to worship God. He's the true God. You think that that would have been a high time for Elijah. And then he goes back, and Jezebel hears about it. And she's not very happy. And Jezebel says, I'm going to have this guy killed. Now, he just stood up to the king. He stood up to 850 false gods. He mocked them, made fun of them. And he prayed and he had fire fall down from heaven. And by the way, it's not the last time he's going to do that. You're going to see later on, they bring some a guy with 50 troops to come take him down from the mountain and says, come down, man of God. He goes, if I'm man of God, fire from heaven. That worked for him. But little Jezebel, I'm going to kill you. I'm mad. And what does he do? He runs. He runs away. He runs into the wilderness, and there God has to have him take a nap and feed him food. And then after that, he gets up, and instead he goes and hides in a cave. And that's the story we saw. What happened? This great guy that was a prophet of God, that stood up in the face of evil, that stood up to a wicked king, that stood up, got to the point where this pressure from this wicked Jezebel, by the way, she was really the power behind the throne. And all of a sudden, he freaks out and he gives into the pressure and he takes off. Before we criticize him too heavily, most Christians do that too, don't we? See, we've experienced, by the way, if you're saved this morning, you've experienced a great victory, eternal salvation. Maybe you've seen God do things in your life, and yet sometimes this outward pressure from those who don't know God, or even sometimes our own flesh, this pressure comes on us and we don't respond very well. By the way, as a Christian, this world should never claim victory over us. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. He says, listen, maybe, and by the way, our problem isn't with people that don't know God, because they just don't know God. But the philosophies that are being put forth, he says, listen, you're greater than all of that, because greater is he that's in you than it's in the world. The world doesn't have to overcome us. This pressure to push us out does not have to overcome us. Yes, the world is an enemy of God. And by the world, I don't mean the people of the world. I'm talking about all the philosophies, the principles, just the way the world operates, because the world doesn't know God. And there's pressure on Christians to conform. If we don't believe what they believe, it's not just, well, that's just your belief, it's wrong. Now it's like, you have to agree. Who was it? The guy in Texas that's running for president that said that if churches do not, what was the word in Sunday school? I forgot the word again. Affirm. If they don't affirm that transgenderism is real, they want to take our tax-exempt status away. They're trying to come in and tell us what to believe. Not like, okay, we disagree. No, or leave them alone, which no one's out to hurt anybody. By the way, I'll throw this out there, and you may not like it, but it's okay. It is hurtful now to start pushing children to say, you know, you might be a girl. Oh, that didn't go over very well. That's hurtful. You know, one of these actresses said, I'm raising my boy as a little girl because when he was 3, he said, I want to be a girl. You know, my grandson wants to be Batman. Okay? He doesn't know any better. But I'm just saying, that's the kind of pressure that, why do you live that way? Why don't you do this? How come you believe Jesus is a, and they put pressure on us. And they ridicule us if we don't agree. There was a court case in England where a guy didn't want to affirm as a doctor that if someone came in, a big burly guy, and said, I want you to treat me as a girl, he said, I can't do that. Not that he actually did. He was asked if he would do it. And the court in England said, the Bible is not compatible with society. Okay? That's where we're headed. And they put pressure on us. We are to fight and be victorious. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not. He says, look, we're not supposed. What happens? Pressure comes and pushes us from being and doing what God wants us to do. And by the way, if someone disagrees with us, let me make this very clear. We don't hate anybody that disagrees with us. Don't listen to the news. If we say something like, we just don't believe that. Well, you hate them. You're a phobe. No, we're not. We just believe the Bible. That's all. We don't hate them. Don't make that. They're just trying to shut us up. Okay, we don't hate anybody. I mean, there is that obscure verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world. Okay, we're supposed to love everybody, but we're not loving someone by giving into what they believe. But anyhow, back to reality. But Elijah here gave into the pressure. Now, the question is to us, will we give into the pressure that we face from all these different forms in our society that try to push us away from being the Christians that God wants us to be? This morning, I want us to see that there are two ways we can respond to the pressure of the world that is placed on Christians. In the first place, we can respond incorrectly like Elijah did. Although Elijah was correct in a lot of the things he did, in this one little instance, and I understand there were some outside things that helped, but in this instance, he did not respond correctly. What are some things that caused him? What are some of the factors that caused him to respond incorrectly? Well, first he forgot. Verse 1 says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. He'd done a lot of things. I mean, this was a guy that was miracle after miracle after miracle. This was a guy that you did not want to mess with. And it didn't stop Jezebel from threatening him, but she had heard what he had done. Why didn't Elijah remember that? He wasn't afraid of the king. He wasn't afraid of the prophets. He wasn't afraid of the crowd that was there, kind of waffling on what side of the fence they were going to be on. He wasn't afraid of any of that. When those soldiers are coming, he's not afraid of all that stuff. But in this instance, he was, because he forgot. You know what pushes us away sometimes? We forget everything God has done for us. Whenever you forget what God has done for you, you are going to make some bad decisions. Let me ask you a question. Are you a Christian this morning? Did God save you? Don't forget that. That's a big deal. That one day I was unsaved and I did not know Jesus. And because of that, I was going to have to pay for my own sin in hell. But that I met Jesus Christ, the one who died for my sin, the one that paid my price, and the one that offered me eternal life. And I was able to receive him. And now I have eternal life. Better not forget that. That's a big deal. I don't want to forget how God changed my life. And I was wandering. I see the kids sometimes that walk the hallways like, hey, what are you doing? Wandering aimlessly. I was doing that in life. Messing around, doing my own thing. And I had no purpose. And after I had Jesus Christ in my life, now I had a purpose. I don't want to forget all that. Because if I forget all that, I'm going to make some really bad decisions. Don't forget what he's done for you. I mean, we've had families, they've come here in the past and they've had some issues and like all of us have, and they didn't know God, and they'll come and God will start cleaning up their life, and all of a sudden they get to a good spot and they forget where they came from. They forget where God brought them come, and they start to backpedal. Oh, yeah. Let's not forget. Listen, God did not want Elijah whining in the wilderness. God did not want Elijah hiding in the cave. That was a bad place for him to be. He should have never been there, but he forgot what God wanted to do or what God had done in his life. Also, he feared in verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow. I'm going to get you, Elijah. And when he saw this, he arose and went for his life. He's fearing. What is he afraid of? Her words? He was right in the middle of God's will. He was doing not what he wanted, but what God told him to do. And he was okay. But all of a sudden, he's going to fear this woman? Fear. We fear too. By the way, understand this. So often our fears are unfounded. We fear that if we serve God, we're missing out on life. That's not true. The opposite's actually true. We fear what people think about us. I don't want people to think I'm weird if I'm a Christian. Let me throw this in. Maybe if they think you're weird, it's not because you're a Christian. It's because you're acting weird. Sometimes it's like people think I'm weird because I'm living for God. No, you're just acting weird. I never forgot, I was working at a warehouse, and I was working with this guy, and I was trying to witness to him, and, you know, we were good. I knew him well, and we talked all night, you know, hey, and we had another brethren that's there, and he did act weird. And he looked at me one time and goes, you know, Steve, I don't want to be a Christian. You know why? I don't want to be like him. And I'm like, no, I defended him, but I walked away, and I'm like, I don't want to be like him either. Okay? No. Look, now, if they don't like the way we are because we're a Christian, let's not be mean to them about it. Let's not rub it in their face. But let's not worry too much about what people think. By the way, a lot of times what they're thinking about us is they're trying to soothe in their own mind why they're not a Christian. And by the way, if we'll stick it out, we can change their mind about Jesus Christ. But we fear. Let's not fear. Then he fled in verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He is out of there. And he came and sat down under a juniper tree. Here's a guy. It's almost like, here he is. He's up on the mountain defeating the false prophets, fire from heaven. Everybody's like, we're going to serve God. Now here he is hiding under a tree. I call that a downgrade. He fled. He allowed the pressure to get him away from where he should be. Flee. By the way, giving in to the pressure of this world will cause us to flee from our faith every time. Think of Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He gave in to that pressure, and he fled. There's too many used to Christians in this world, isn't there? We go out all the time, and we're really aggressive in trying to invite people to church, invite people to Christ, and we meet good people all the time. That, like, you know, I used to go to church. Something happened. By the way, and I don't say that to condemn, because that could happen to any of us. Any of us. We got to be very careful. Let's not flee. Let's stay straight. And he fainted. Look at verse 5. And he lay and sleep under the juniper tree. And verse 6, he laid down. Basically, here's what God had to do to him. He's like, all right, look, this guy was weak. So God said, God let him sleep. When he woke up, there was food there for him. He'd eat and go back to bed. And he woke up and he ate and went back to bed. By the way, that sounds like a good plan. Okay. It's like, you want to get back to eat? I'll be up at 12. Can you have food ready, right? Okay. But that was a plan. Why? Why did God do that? Because he was weak. By the way, when we're weak, we can't fight the pressure. Let's not be weak. See, when we start to give into the pressures of the world, our faith starts to weaken. We're not very strong. Sometimes we can't fight the pressure because we've put our place in a place of weakness and we're not strong enough to fight the pressure. Whereas if we would just be the Christian we're supposed to be, we would be able to fight that pressure. The pressure of this world can only weaken us when we allow it to. Understand this. God will never allow any type of pressure in your life that is more than you can handle. If you say, well, but there was a time, there was this pressure and I couldn't handle it. That's because you either put yourself in a place where you couldn't handle it, or you allowed yourself to get weak so you couldn't handle it. But if we're doing what we're supposed to do, we'll be fine. We can handle it. He fretted. Verse 14. We didn't read that one. He talks to the Lord and says in verse 14, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. Behold, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He's like, listen, I'm the only one left here, Lord. Don't you get this? I mean, I'm the only one trying to stand for you, and they're coming after me. It's almost like he's telling God, what are you doing here? I'm doing my best. I'm standing up, and you're allowing this? He's fretted. He's worried about it. He's making the mistake of thinking that all he has done in the past should shelter him from any problems in the future. Life doesn't work that way. Okay, I'm just telling you. Well, you know, things are going well now and everything's honky-dory. Maybe you're a new Christian and you got saved and things are going well. And man, this is tremendous. This is the most wonderful thing. Let me assure you, it is the most wonderful thing, but it doesn't mean that problems aren't going to come. You know what it means? When you have problems, you have someone to help you with your problems now. You have someone that in God that will help you in those problems to grow through those problems, and he'll use those problems to make you a better Christian. But he fretted. He was just like, ugh. By the way, it's the ones who are out on the front line who get shot at. Say, man, I've been a Christian forever. No one's ever shot at me. Maybe you're not on the front lines. You know who gets shot at? The ones who are open in their faith. Yeah. They don't care who knows they're a Christian. And they're not rude about it, but that being a Christian is not something we should hide. I'm just telling you, it's not. You go to a football game, you can tell whose side the fans are on. Now, typically it's a home team, but you'll see the fans that are not for the home team, they wear their jerseys, they're ready to go. You know who they are? They're not hiding it. Now, sometimes they're rude about it, but they're not hiding it. Hey, let's be open in our faith. Yes, people will take shots. By the way, earlier in the chapter, there was a guy named Obadiah. Elijah meets a guy named Obadiah in chapter 18. And he says, hey, you know, they're looking for Elijah. And he says, go tell the king I'm there. Obadiah was a compromiser. I fear the Lord. Didn't you hear what I did? But he was still working for King Ahab, and he was keeping it on the low and low. He wasn't open. Those who are sharing their faith are on the front line. They want people to know Jesus Christ, and they will actively let them know how they can know Jesus Christ. And those who are living their faith. And then he failed. Verse 13, and behold, there came a voice that said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? God's like, why are you even here? Elijah, this is not where you're supposed to be. See, whenever pressure gets us to get away from where we should be, we're not going to be doing what we should be doing. It's going to push us somewhere we're not supposed to be. That's not God's plan. So we can respond incorrectly like Elijah did. Or number two, we can respond correctly like he didn't. In other words, how should he have responded and how should we respond to the pressure? Do the opposite of what he did. What do I mean? Remember God's works. He forgot, but he should have remembered. If he would have been sitting there thinking, man, that was great. I mean, the fire came down from heaven. That's pretty, how many of you have ever seen that? I haven't yet, you know what I'm saying? And usually if it does, it'll probably be coming at me, not you know, because of me. And he's like, man, the fire came down from heaven. I can't believe that worked. And the people were actually listening. And the false prophets are out of the way. And now they know there's a God in heaven. They know that you're still going. Everybody's going to hear about this. He should have been thinking about that. Instead of thinking, that loud mouth is threatening me. I would have thought, let's just order a dose of fire for her. He forgot everything God did. Hey, remember what God has done in your life. Secondly, remember there's a purpose. There's a purpose. In fearing that the fear that he had for the king and allowing that to change him kept him from fulfilling God's purpose. There was a purpose that he was fulfilling in that country that went far beyond any threat that Jezebel could have ever given him. He should have ignored her because he had something to do. God had a purpose for him. He's to get God's message out. He had a purpose. He forgot the purpose. Listen, when we understand our purpose, that we're not here, it's not some accident, it's not just so we get saved, it's not so we just show up at church once a week, but that God has something that he wants us to do, and we have a purpose, nothing is going to push us off of that purpose. Nothing. Remember our place. He wasn't where he should be. I like some of these verses. David says in Psalms, I shall not be moved. I am what I am. I believe what I believe. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and nobody's going to move me. I like what Joshua said. By the way, the people of the Bible were people of conviction. Okay? He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, it's already been decided. I know my place. Caleb, he still wanted that mountain. God promised him a mountain. It didn't matter who was there. Didn't matter who he had to fight. I'm going to go take that mountain. Remember our place. Remember your health. You know, he fainted. Why? Because he was fatigued. He wasn't physically strong. See, a lot of us, and I'm not talking about physical strength today, but what about our spiritual health? We're not spiritually strong. You know what? We're not doing the things that God wants us to do to remain spiritually strong, so we're going to be weak and we're going to give up. Pressure is always strongest for those who are weakest. That's all there is. Remember your health. And then remember the church. Remember when he whined that he was the only one? Verse 18, God said, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which had not kissed me. He goes, you know what, Elijah, you're not the only one. There are others out there. He's trying to encourage them. Elijah, I have my group. And Elijah saw some of them. By the way, he got himself a servant that took on after him, Elisha. By the way, Elijah did twice the miracles that Elijah did. There's people out there. By the way, don't try to live the Christian life on your own. You need church. You need other Christians. Exhorting one another and encouraging to provoking unto love and good works. And how are we supposed to do that? And so much more as you see the day approaching. God says we need each other. And when we take ourselves away from that, we are going to be pressured. We need other Christians. And lastly, remember his will. Verse 15, the Lord said unto him, go, return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Assyria. You know what he says? He goes, we're done with this. Get up, get out there. There's things to do. That was just step one. He's like, Elijah, this episode's over. By the way, Jezebel was still out there. And he's like, enough of that. Here's what I want. Just let's go. Next step. We're ready to go. Step up. God has something for us to do. And whenever we give into the pressure of the world, we're not doing what God wants us to do. God has something for a church to do. But if the members of the church and the people of the church are giving in to the pressures of the world and are not willing to get involved, the church is not going to fulfill God's will. God has, what does God have for you to do? Well, we know the things of the Bible, share the gospel, live for him and live for others. But God wants us to do something. But if we give into the pressures, we're never going to fulfill that. Let's all stand together this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.